Welcome to another edition of Stokes and Folks. I'm your host, Spencer Stokes, and today we're going to be talking about one of the most timely and I think the future of what's happening in the election world. There's a lot of interest around instant runoff voting, ranked choice voting, and we're going to dedicate the next couple of shows to guests that know all about instant runoff voting and ranked choice voting and also have an opinion about it. So either for or against. And I'm joined today by Ricky Hatch, who's the auditor clerk of Weber County, Utah. So welcome, Ricky.
Thanks so much, Spencer.
But before we get into that, tell me a little bit about how did you become the auditor clerk of Weber County?
Well, I had no intentions as a high schooler to be involved in government. I thought it was horribly boring. And I did what every high school teenager male wants to do. I wanted to become an accountant.
Okay. Speaking of boring, you wanted to become an accountant.
That's okay. Right. But I was always interested in government. I always voted. I always researched my candidates. I was interested in how governance works. I studied the Constitution. And I was a CPA and did my work. And then I moved back to Utah in about 2002 and decided that I just needed to be more involved. I got involved as a planning commissioner for our city. I got involved with the party kind of a little bit by accident, but I just really liked the people. They weren't the stuck-up ladder climbers that you would anticipate. So I just got more involved, and someone said one day, you should run for clerk auditor. And I said, what do they do? They do finances and voting. And I said, you can get paid to do that.
Who did you replace? Who was
Alan there? McEwen.
That's right. Did you run against Alan?
I did. I ran against him in the Republican primary.
Yeah. And beat him at the convention.
Convention, yeah.
So you then went on and didn't have a primary. You had the general election and how many years? What year was that?
That was 2010. So it's been 11 years now.
Okay. All right. And you were also part of the which cycle were you in when they started alternating all of the county races?
Oh,
were you a four-year or a six-year?
I was a four-year. Originally, they had the clerks and attorneys and sheriff that would have moved to a six-year single time, and then they decided for some reason to flip it. And I'm really glad because now I'm not on a presidential ballot. That's
You don't have to worry about that. The ups and downs of the presidential ballot, which we know it really does determine what's going to happen at a lot of local level races. So,
that's right.
Little background. So, and now you've been in that job and you obviously handle all the elections, you handle all of the auditing functions of the county. And I'm assuming that, you know, John Bond, who's the county treasurer, started out in the auditor's office as the internal auditor before he went on to become the treasurer. So I'm assuming you still have an internal audit function in the county.
Yes, and that internal audit function sits administratively within my office, but reports to our audit committee.
Okay, got it. All right, so instant runoff, and so IRV is what a lot of people call it. That's the buzzword, instant runoff voting. And ranked choice voting, are they the same animal? Lots of people ask me this question all the time. And I know what my answer is, but I want to hear your answer.
My answer is, unless you're a college professor, yes, they're the same. If you want to get into absolute nuances, there's a slight difference, but I treat them synonymously.
Yeah. And we've seen recently this last New York mayor's race used ranked choice voting in their race, and there was a lot of hope that it would go off without a hitch, and of course they had some problems with their, I guess, from my understanding, they had included, still had not purged the computer system and still had votes from the test in the computer system that got tallied. And I don't know how that was discovered, but probably wasn't the ideal situation for the highest visible race using this kind of system.
Right. And they probably identified it because you do reconciliation processes throughout the election, and they identified it fairly early on. And it's unfortunate. And frankly, I wish I could say that this was due to the fact that it was ranked choice voting, but I don't think it was. It may have been a factor, but I kind of doubt it. That could have happened with the regular election.
Now, in the state of Utah, a lot of cities, a number of cities are using ranked choice voting this election cycle. I don't know of any counties that have used ranked choice voting yet, but you sit with all the other county election officials in your role as the auditor clerk and the county clerks throughout the state. What's their kind of overall view of ranked choice voting, instant runoff voting?
Well, anytime we look at some kind of different voting rule change or voting method change, we first think, what are we trying to solve? Is this truly a better solution? And we look at it that way from a policy standpoint originally, but then we have to kind of be the advocate for the voters. We say, is this something that would be good for the voters? Not just from a policy standpoint, but from a practical standpoint. And as we researched that, we started researching this in ranked choice voting in 2013 and 2014, and our hackles started rising as we started seeing some complications that we saw around the country in places that administered it that seemed to influence voters negatively and also decrease trust in the elections.
So tell me practically how it works. Give me your best example. I'm sure you've given an example 1,000 times, so give me that one.
Of how ranked choice voting works. Okay, so a voter is allowed to rank the order of candidates in their order of preference. So my first choice is first, all the way down to the last one.
So it's literally a ballot that has one through. Now, does the ballot have Scantron bubbles out to the right of it where you fill in one down through?
Yes.
Okay.
There are a couple different ways that you can lay it out. But yes, it involves following a Scantron bubble. And so what you do is, at the end, when you have all the ballots in, you count them, and the lowest, it depends on the state law and the process you choose, but the lowest vote getter, you eliminate that candidate. And for all voters who put that candidate first, you look at and see who they put second, and then you scrape those votes and reallocate those among the
And then you other just candidates. Keep doing that until you have somebody who receives 50 plus one.
Is that how it goes? Of the remaining votes, correct.
Okay. So is what happens, you know, I started my public service career in the clerk's office in Weber County. And so we would get lots of questions. For example, one of the questions was, I voted a straight party ticket, and then I went over and voted for a Republican, although I punched the straight party Democrat, which actually we don't do anymore. But did I get disqualified for doing that? And we'd have to say, no, the voter intent really is the thing that wins the day. It, you know, punching that Democrat or Republican, even though you may have voted straight party for a different one, is what counts, the voter intent. What happens if a voter, you know, not paying attention, ranks number one and ranks two people number two? What happens in that case?
Good question. In that case, that ballot gets set aside for what we call adjudication, which really means the computer says, I'm not sure how to handle this. So we have a team of humans, team of three humans, take a look at it and try to see if they can clearly and easily understand the voter's intent. Okay. If they can, then they can actually alter the system, and it's a logged, audited, controlled process. If they can't, they leave it as is. And in this case, that vote for that race would be discounted.
Unless, would that be the end of that person's ballot? Or if the two number twos aren't next, do they go to the number three at some point?
No, the way I understand ranked choice voting and the systems that tabulate it, if there's an error, either they don't mark as number two and then they mark a number three, or if they mark two number ones, it just stops and that's ignored.
It just kicks it out. You adjudicate it. If it can't be adjudicated, it's a spoiled ballot at that point.
For that race, correct.
For that race, yeah. So the whole ballot's not spoiled. So there is talk of you could use this for a primary, Or you could just eliminate the primary and go straight to a general with everybody on the ballot for that particular race, and then, you know, you let the chips fall where they may. Is that?
That's one of the big pros that people claim on ranked choice voting, and it's mostly true. You generally will save money. Policy aside, primaries have their function, and it's a good chance to get the candidates out there, and you know that's a good thing. And so, whether it's good to eliminate a primary from a policy perspective, I won't really address that. Cost wise, yes, you won't have to run two elections, just one, but you do have increased costs with ranked choice voting, and most of that comes along with voter education, as well as some administrative costs, including if it pushes it onto a two-page ballot.
I generally tell people that, you know, those of us who have been involved in politics for a number of years, we don't look at voting as being intimidating, but the general public does look at voting as being intimidating. There's no other explanation for having everyone in the county, and Weber County gets a by-mail ballot, but yet not everybody in the county sends that by-mail ballot back in for various reasons, whether they don't know something about a candidate, they just don't get to researching that candidate, so they don't send any of the ballot in, or they just don't know how it works. Where do I sign my name on this? How does the envelope close? There's a myriad of reasons why we don't get those ballots in. But in Weber County, for example, how many ballots are unreturned from in a by-mail election?
You mean the voters don't vote them at all?
Right, and don't send them back in.
Last year, which was the highest ever, it was about 9%. So we had about 91% turnout.
Okay, well that's impressive.
Yeah,
that's impressive.
It's never been that high before.
Yeah, and we can talk philosophically about reasons why that would be the case or not be the case. And of that, do you happen to know the total of spoiled ballots in that from the 91% that sent in? What's the percentage on that?
The actual number of final spoiled ballots is about 1%, or possibly even a little bit less.
Okay. All right. So, and ballots get kicked out because I know everybody thinks, well, how do they verify it's my ballot? And I've watched this happen, and it's very obvious when that's not someone's signature on the ballot.
Right.
Because you verify all those signatures as they come in. And so it's not all on election night. You've verified those as they've arrived. That's why there's a little pull-off tab.
Yep.
So you can take a look at that signature. Mm-hmm. And you have history of how that signature has progressed over the years. What kind of databases do you use and have access to signatures?
Well, in Weber County, we use a couple, but most every county across the state uses the statewide voter registration database, which keeps up to 5 signatures of each voter. And so you can have a very good history of showing the change of their signatures, and it's very easy. And we receive training on signature comparison from the law enforcement and forensics, and we train all of our election judges.
But it's much more on the face obvious than you would think it is.
Yes.
So for those that say, well, how do they know it's me? It is very accurate. I jokingly say we have probably the greatest amount of election fraud in the country, because we have all of the moms who get their missionaries' ballots and think, well, I know how, you know, Tyler would have voted on this. Clearly he would have voted this way. And then they sign, and those are easy to figure out. That's not Tyler's signature.
We identify that pretty quickly.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, tell me what your issues are with ranked choice voting. Just in a, you know, give me your top reasons besides it's a change. Voters are going to have to be educated. You know, what next would you say about it?
Well, my first issue is this the right thing for Utah? Why would we want to completely alter the method of voting in Utah? And that's really a policy decision. But I've been elected by, you know, 127,000 voters in Weber County, and so I should wade into policy as well, because I represent them.
Right.
And is it plurality? Is it civility? Is it cost? Is it a mixture of all those? And if so, is that worth doing this dramatic change? So to me, that's the first thing to check. Personally, I don't think it's worth it. But I, if the legislature decides so, then I understand that and we'll support it. The second thing is voter confidence. It's at an all-time low right now. Utah did a phenomenal job in the 2020 elections, a fantastic job. But voters are wary. And it's easy to understand when you look at a ranked choice ballot. But when I try to explain to you how the winner wins, and that the fact that as a clerk now, I have to take votes and scrape them from one candidate and allocate them to others, that becomes a little bit more challenging from a confidence standpoint. So voters, and that's the part that voters don't realize. And then you have somebody who's leading maybe in the first round of voting, but then they lose in the last round of voting, which only happens 3% of the time, mind you. That really gets voters very concerned. And then you have to try to explain the process, and that's really a challenge. Beyond that, you have some questionable statistics on how it impacts minority voters, voters of lower education. There's a lot of statistics out there and studies that show that, yeah, it does harm them. It makes it harder for them. And you have competing studies that show the exact opposite. Those studies happen to be funded by FairVote, the company that promotes ranked choice voting.
All right. And I can see where there would be an overwhelming, this is new. It's overwhelming to me. I may not want to send my ballot in because I don't fully understand it. What's been the experience from the cities that have tried it? Have they eliminated the primary and gone straight to a general election and done the ranked choice voting in the general election only, or have they had a primary and used ranked choice voting and then moved on to the general?
I believe the two cities in Utah County that did it, I believe that they did it in their general and they avoided the primary.
We'll get the details. It is Utah County just as well be, you know, Turkey. when you're focused on Weber County.
And the results in Utah County, those elections, I mean, the voters that participated represented about 5% of voters in Utah County. So it was a very small sample that they took.
Right. Right. And the idea is they're trying to try it out, see if they can educate people. But I will tell you that in the olden days, a primary was much more expensive than it is today. I mean, when you're having to, in the olden days, you had three, judges at every precinct, election judges. You had to hire them. They had to sit there all day. The by-mail makes it a pretty seamless, and you can predict the cost of what it's going to be. But you're saying that if you eliminate the primary, you're probably going to have to spend that money anyway in trying to educate people of how to do the ranked choice voting, instant runoff voting. So maybe the cost savings isn't quite what everybody thinks it will be.
Yeah, there's definitely a cost savings, but it's not as dramatic as you would at first expect.
So your elections, the Utah Association of Counties, county clerks, an elections officer organization, have they taken an official position on ranked choice voting or instant runoff voting?
Yes, both the Clerks Association and Utah Association of Counties as a whole have both taken a position of opposing ranked choice voting.
Okay.
For various reasons.
And that doesn't mean that it couldn't change in the future.
Right.
But at this point in time, that's where it is. Another very interesting thing, this podcast is being recorded, I believe it's the 30th today of July, and Justin Lee just announced that he is going to be going to the Utah League of Cities and Towns, and I have to take my hat off to Justin. He has been a great, I don't know what his title has been, Chief Elections Officer, Director, and he's done a great job at it. We do have a great reputation for voting integrity in the state, and it's obviously done with 29 counties. But the election administrator, director of the state, plays an integral role in all of that. But a lot of, just like with everything else, a lot of what people's perception is about voting and voting integrity comes from what they see in the national media, and we're not immune to that here in the shadow of the Rocky Mountains, or the shadow of the mountains and everlasting hills. But Ricky, thank you so much for joining us today. I don't know if you have any last parting words about this you'd like to throw in there, but feel free.
My last words are, ranked choice voting is good in theory, and it's very good in certain situations. My thought is, before we jump into it and implement it statewide or broadband, let's really take a look at why we're doing it. And let's, if we really want to do something like that, want to change things, let's look at other options. Let's look at all the options. There's one called approval voting, which brings all of the benefits that ranked choice voting claims with virtually none of the drawbacks.
So interesting.
Let's just
well, that's a whole other show, approval voting. That's the first time I've heard about it. But thank you for joining us. This has been another episode of Stokes and Folks. Please go on, review. We don't even care if you dislike us. Review us and rate us and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We'll hopefully have you listening again next week.